today we're going to continue the series of Galatians that we started last week called Freedom. Have you ever known the right thing to do, but you didn't do it because of who was watching you? It's amazing how bold we are until people are actually watching us. Is that just me or is that you? We can all relate to times we know we should have done something better, but we just went along with the crowd, or we didn't stand up for what we knew was right because we didn't want to be the only one to make that stand. We've all been there before, and that's exactly what's kind of happening in this passage as we get into a minute. This isn't about bad theology on paper. It's about good theology lived out poorly. So Paul was really trying to get to us and show us about how we live our life. When the gospel is real, it should show up in how you live, not just in what you say. Today we're going to be reading Galatians chapter 2. We're going to read 11 through 16, where we're going to put the majority of our focus today. Let's read this passage together, and then I'll come back and begin to expand on it and teach us from this passage. But when Peter came to Antioch, this is Paul talking, I had to oppose him to his face. How many know this is about to get good today? Someone called Mari, he's going to be really, really good. I had to get up in this real, that's what he said. I had to get up in his face and tell him, for what he did was very wrong. See, when he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. Everybody say, ouch! Okay. Some of you guys are singing a little bit higher today. Okay, but hallelujah! So not circumcised. But afterwards, come on, it's real. But afterwards, when the friends of James came, Peter would eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of the criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. As a result, other Jewish believers followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas, who should have known better. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter, in front of all the others, since you, a Jew by birth, have decided and discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by what? Faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have not believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right, that means righteous in good standing with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God just by obeying the law. So, what Paul was confronting here, he's writing to the Galatian church, which he had helped plant. And after he left and came back, he had these Judaizers had come alongside Peter, and Peter was teaching the right thing. And then these Judaizers were people who were Jews who believed in Jesus as the Messiah, but they also believed, well, we got to keep the Mosaic law as well. And they tried to merge the two together. So they were teaching Jesus is the Messiah. If you believe Jesus is the Messiah and you follow about the Mosaic law, the two together is what brings salvation. That's how you become a Christian. And that was totally different. They were saying that Jesus plus circumcision, Jesus plus keeping the feast and the festivals, Jesus plus eating kosher, all of these things is what brings salvation. So Paul had to correct this teaching and set the New Testament church in Galatia back on the right track. Paul wanted to make it crystal clear. Let's look at it right here. He was saying this to be clear. We are saved through Christ alone, grace alone, and faith alone. This is how we determine our faith. This is how we know we have been made right with God. It's through Christ alone, grace alone, and faith alone. When we try to make it about keeping the law, then it's about our works, and we're working for our salvation. If we're working for our salvation, it no longer becomes grace. Jesus died on the cross to give us his grace, that when we were yet sinners, he died for us when we didn't deserve it. He took our punishment when we couldn't pay the price ourselves. He said, I'll be tribute. I'll stand in their place. And he who was perfect took us who was not perfect, took our sins, took our nails, took our stripes, took our crown of thorns on his head, and he died for you and me. This is what grace is. We don't work for it. We just accept it by faith. So when you try to earn it by works, it takes away the grace. See, verse 16, let's read it again, but this time let's read it through the English Standard Version. I like the way it says this. Yet we know that a person is what? Not justified. Let's say justified. Justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be what? Justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. And one more time, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. So I want to be justified. How about you? He said, Pastor, what is it being justified? Let me give you the best definition I know how to explain it in our language to understand what the Bible is talking about here. We are justified by faith in Jesus, not by the works or law that we keep. Justified means this, that God no longer chooses to see me for the sin I have committed. But now, when God looks at me, he chooses to see me just like his son Jesus. Come on, ain't that amazing? He sees me justified, just as Jesus. Because I have accepted what Jesus did on the cross, I put my faith in Jesus. Now his blood has covered my sins. And when God looks at me, he no longer sees my sin. He sees the blood of his son, Jesus, and now he treats me just like his son. He treats me just like his daughter. He treats me like an adoption into his family. I've been justified, just made right before the Lord. Trouble Paul is addressing is that Peter has now began to let these Judaizers influence his teaching. They're peer pressuring him, and he's falling to the peer pressure. Peter knew it was only by faith. We have proof, and we'll get to it in a minute. Peter already knew it was only by faith that we are saved, but Peter was living in fear of his other Jewish brothers and sisters, and he let the pressure that they were put on him of treating him bad, of them ostracizing him, of them not liking him, he used that pressure to not teach what he knows to be the truth. Peter would hang out with Jewish friends, and he would embrace it's Jesus and the law to get to heaven. And then when he hang around Gentiles, he'd eat what Gentiles ate, and he would tell them, you can be one with Jesus too, it's all right. But when his other friends came around, his Jewish friends, he acted like he didn't know who the Gentiles were. Little heathens, you know. In verse 11, Paul confronts Peter. Paul was like, I had to get up with Peter's grill. I had to get up in his grill. He was tripping out here. Who are you? And this is the same Peter who stood up in Acts. And he did something totally different in Acts. And now you're over here letting these Judaizers, these people influence you. You walk, Peter of all people, you walk with Jesus. You talk with Jesus. You know better. You will even preach differently than what you're teaching and living now. So Paul calls him out. Well, Pastor, shouldn't he correct them in private? There's a time to correct in private, but when you openly teach something that's not right, then Paul had every right to openly rebuke him for teaching a false gospel. Peter had to let fear of Jesus plus the law, his Jewish friends influence what he believed and how he was living it out. See, the reason why it's disappointing, because in Acts 10, Cornelius, who was a centurion, a soldier, officer in the Roman government, he, the Bible says, was a man who feared God. He did his best to honor God. And he had a dream. And in this dream, he felt like God told him to go and send for Peter and have Peter come back and teach you, the Gentiles, the Romans, about this Jesus and the New Testament gospel of faith in Jesus. The problem is this, that Romans and Jews didn't like each other. They didn't mix. They hated each other. That's why many of the Jews didn't want to accept Jesus as the Messiah, because they wanted, and they were respecting, what they wanted was a king, a political king to come and overthrow the Roman Empire. So when he didn't come and bring a political kingdom, but yet he came to flip a spiritual kingdom instead, many of them were upset in that. So you see the tension here between the Romans and the Jews. If here's a Roman soldier who says for a Jew to come, Peter to come and teach in his house, it's like unheard of. So he does it. And shortly after that, when he sends his soldiers to go ask Peter to come, all of a sudden, God gives Peter a dream. Peter's there on the Blackstone, just flipping around, he's working and he's cooking. And all of a sudden it says that Peter had a spiritual trance happen and the heavens opened visually for him. And he saw what looked like a big white sheet lowering down from the heavens. And on this sheet was all the foods that the Jewish people said were unclean. And God spoke to him and said, why do you call unclean what I'd make clean? And he was telling him, but listen, quit trying to call these things unclean when I've called them clean. Quit trying to tell the Gentiles they're unclean when I've made them clean just as well. He goes, there's some men looking for you. Go down and you'll see them. When you find them, they're going to invite you to go to their house of the Gentiles and teach them what I've taught you. Sure enough, he goes down, they're looking for him. Hey, after me, I'm Pete. Pete, come with us. And so he goes to their house. The house is full of his family, his friends. The house is packed at Cornelius' house. Peter gets there and says, hey, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. They're Greek. There's not white, there's not black, there's not rich, there's not poor. We're all one with God. And his grace is for everyone. This salvation is for everyone. Jesus died for everyone. And faith in Jesus alone is how we all get to heaven. And it says that they all embraced this teaching. They all believed that day in Jesus. They all begin to get water baptized. They got water baptized that day. Listen, we have water baptism coming up soon. I want you to be water baptized. If you haven't been water baptized, we want you to sign up. We're going to be doing it here the next month. Can't wait to get you in that. Then they were also filled with the Holy Spirit. And listen, revival began to break out and go to the Gentiles based off of Peter coming and sharing that they were clean as well. And then in verse 15 of chapter 15 of Acts also, you see where the Jewish leaders were standing up and they were trying to make the Gentiles follow the Mosaic law. And it was Peter who came to their defense. Peter told the Jewish leaders, he stood up to them. He said, hey, why are you trying to make them follow the law when you and I, if you are Jewish, we couldn't even follow that law, and you're trying to make Gentiles follow that law? No, it's through Jesus only, through faith only, through grace only, and he's the one who stood up. So now, it's like, Peter, what are you doing? Peter, why the 180? Why, Peter, are you living differently than what you preached? Peter, now why are you doing something different than what you have been teaching all this time? So Paul had to get up and say, Peter, you've done the 180. Peter, you got to do something different here, Peter was called out by Paul, saying when Paul said basically, listen, dude, when you're around your Jewish friends, you don't eat pork, you don't eat ham, and you're everything's kosher, and you're condemning those who do. Then you, when they leave and you're with your Gentile friends, you guys are eating pork, you're all hamming it up. You know, come on now. Had the dad jokes of you all day long. Come on now. You're hamming it up. You're eating all the things that you could then when your Jewish friends aren't around. And then when your Jewish friends come back, you act like you don't even know those guys. You act like you don't even want to have any association with them. So he was out there saying, man, you're letting this pressure cause you to live differently. He calls it out. In verse 13, he says, you're a hypocrite. Powerful words. Because Peter was living this quiet Christianity. He believed one thing, but he was living another. He was acting different around one group and acting different around another group. I think Peter is the guy we can most relate to of all the disciples. You and I can most relate to Peter, right? And it was Peter, if you remember when Jesus came walking on the water, Lord, let me you. Call me to come to you. And he calls to him, this is Peter. I mean, give him props. He had faith, man. He was quick to get out of that boat. But he was also the guy who sank in front of all his friends. Took his eyes off Jesus, began to sink. God kicks him up. You get another faith, Peter. Come on now. It was Peter there when Jesus was prophesying about his death. Remember that? Jesus is like, hey, listen, they're gonna arrest the Son of Man. They're going to put me to death. And I'd be arrested. And Peter's like, no. On my watch, ain't nobody going to touch you, Savior. Ain't nobody going to arrest you, Jesus. I got your back. I mean, he was pretty much clubbing and rebuking Jesus when Jesus is trying to talk about his death to the disciples. He had good intentions, but he's rebuking Jesus. I mean, come on, that's something that, you know, we don't want to do. Stop. How about Peter was the guy who denied Jesus, even when Christ said, you're going to deny me three times before the night's over, and the night it was crucifixion, he was Peter who denied Jesus. Not once, not twice, but three times a lady. Come on, man. He denied him three times. Three denials. It was Pete who was the guy who, when they came to arrest Jesus in the garden, he grabbed the sword and was quick to fight off and cut his ear off. Remember, he cut the ear off of the soldier he was trying to arrest Jesus. Peter is the guy, it's just like you and I, right? Peter really operated out of the flesh a lot. Good intentions, great heart, but many times he let his flesh get in the way. We see it happening here again. We see it here today that Peter is now battling his flesh. He's letting the fear control how he's acting. He's letting the fear of other people's opinion shape how he lives out his faith and lives out the true gospel. Can I say Peter's fear should confront all of us today? Peter's fear should really be a spiritual slap to all of us today to wake up. Because we can all let fear intimidate us. Let me ask you this. Do we talk about Jesus around our church friends and then never talk about Jesus around our work friends or our classmates or our other family who don't know the church? How about this? How we bone on Sundays and timid during the week? Sunday shouldn't be my only day to praise the Lord. Sunday should be my only time I talk about the goodness of God. Sunday should be the only time I act right. Come on now. What are you saying, Castle? Look at this statement. I'm saying there should never be any undercover Christians. We got too many Christians who are letting undercover. Come on. Come on. You live in secret agents. I'm the secret agent of Jesus. Nobody knows who I am. Can I tell you, your decision to follow Jesus is a personal decision, but it's not a private decision. There's a difference between a personal decision and a private decision. I should want to go public with my faith. I should go public before my faith. If I deny him before others, he'll deny me before the Father. I must go public. That's why water baptism is so important, because it lets the world know I am publicly identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Tell me, if you haven't signed up, I want you to sign up. We're going to have a big water baptism service at the end of next month. It's going to be good. Now, may I clarify? There's a big difference between being sensitive when being around certain Christians who don't share maybe the same convictions and liberties that you have as fellow believers. There's a difference between being sensitive to that. That's not living a double standard. But some people, things that maybe that you could do, but God's convicted them of doing, they don't want to do it. You know it. You shouldn't do it around them. So the Bible says we shouldn't cause one of our young Christians to stumble. So we say it's better to tie a rope around their neck with a big stone and throw it in the river than it is to cause somebody to stumble. So it's a noble thing to make sure that I maybe don't act a certain way around certain people who have certain convictions. That's a noble thing. That's a good thing with other believers. This is not what we're talking about today. There's a difference. See, the difference between being embarrassed by your faith when you're around non-believers. There's a big difference. I should never be embarrassed of my faith when I'm around non-believers. I shouldn't act one way of my salvation, embarrassed of my salvation around those. When I act embarrassed as a believer, it's horrible. It's a bad thing. And it's hypocritical, Paul says. It's hypocritical of us. Let me remind you what Paul writes in Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. I am not called to be a timid undercover Christian. I'm called to live unashamed for the gospel of Jesus. I'm not talking about living annoying. I'm not talking about showing out. I'm not talking about beating people up with my words. I'm not talking about spiritual abuse. I'm not talking about acting like I'm higher than anybody else. I'm talking about just by the shame that Jesus is my Lord. My life should say it. My words should reflect it. I should be a city set upon a hill. I'm called to be salt and light. I need to bring the flavor to my job. Somebody's got to bring the good attitude. Why not Jesus, people, bring the good attitude? Somebody's going to bring the good work ethic. Why not Jesus, people, bring the good work ethic? Somebody's going to set the example. We are called to set the example. I'm not called to let others bring me down. I'm not called to let others influence me more than I influence them. What do you say? And write this down. Here's our challenge today. Our challenge is this. We should be unashamed and unafraid to live for Christ consistently, no matter where you are or who you are with. That's our challenge today. Take a picture on your phone. Look at it all week long. Think about it. Am I walking this out? May it challenge us. See, we're talking about courageous Christianity, not quiet Christianity. We're never called to live out a quiet Christian life. We're called to live out a courageous life. See, God has given chameleons, the animal chameleons, the ability to blend in with any environment. If they're in a tree, they'll turn the same color as that tree. If they're on the ground, they'll turn the same color as the grass. If they're on the rock, they turn the same color as the rock. It's their defense mechanism that God gave them by design so that they blend in. Can I tell you, God didn't give you and I that ability. All right. God never wanted you and I to blend in. Stop trying to blend in when God made you and I to stand out. You are called to stand out. You are called to be the light. You are called to be the influence. You're called to be the salt. Quit trying to be like everybody else. How about do this? As we get ready to close today, let me remind you, so how overcome the fear? It could be there. We all have the fear of not being liked by everybody. How do I overcome the fear of peer pressure and not being liked or welcomed by everybody? Let me give you the acronym for FEAR to help you walk this out this week. F stands for follow Christ's example. Follow the example of Christ. Follow the example of Christ. Jesus was consistently himself, but yet he hung around the worst of the worst. He hung around the bad sinners. He hung around the spiritual elite. And he was the same guy in and out. And when they left Jesus, they left change. Jesus didn't leave change. That means you and I, listen, I'm called when I hang around the people who don't know Jesus, they should be influenced to change. They should be inspired, but they need to find out how God can change their life. What are you saying? If you hang around people and when you walk out, you're being dragged down, then don't hang around them because you're not strong enough yet. It's common sense. It's spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is I can hang around and I influence the room. I bring up the room. I bring up the standard. I bring up Jesus. My life points to Jesus and people know. I was in a room of people this week who didn't know I was a pastor. And when they find out I was a pastor, they came up, I'm so sorry. I said those words. I'm so sorry. I dropped those F-bombs. I'm so sorry. I was acting crazy. And I just laughed at them. Why? Because there was something different. You're like, oh, my pastor, oh, my God. All of a sudden, you start singing their language around. Then you realize I live with my wife. That's it. You this. Chilky chariot. Oh, Jeff. We can raise. He is for. Let's expect. Let's expect. It's going to happen. Expect that not everyone's going to like you. I know it's hard today. Not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody, because people are going to say things about you. People are going to misunderstand you. Just because you choose to follow Jesus and no other reason, there are going to be people that immediately hate you. It's just going to happen. When you decide to follow Jesus, there will be those who are automatically opposed to everything you do. People will never say a bad word about you now. No, they're going to post bad things about you. They're going to say bad things about you. Wake up. They're going to do that anyway. They're going to do that anyway. Everybody's going to like you. You're not just going to expect that. Christianity is not a popularity contest. You rely on God. It's a free one. That's where I get my props. God, are you proud of me? God, am I pleasing you? Stop putting so much weight on human approval. And then A stands for ask God to make you bold. I want you to begin to pray this prayer. Ask God to make you bold. Can you imagine what would happen if every day you ask the Holy Spirit, God, help me be bold today, my favor. Help me not to be timid. Help me to live it out. It doesn't mean you're there preaching at anybody. It just means you just stand up for who Jesus is in your life. It just means you make better decisions. It just means when the opportunities present themselves, you're not afraid to talk about the goodness of God in your life. Be bold. Pray for that. See, the early church, they prayed for boldness because they faced real persecution. We're worried about getting unfriended. We're worried about someone making a post about us that's not good. But I remind you today that people who keep these stats, the best that we can understand that over the last several years, including this year, that the average people, number of people who are being killed for their faith in Jesus is close to 5,000 people a year are being killed because they follow Jesus. We don't know persecution. We don't. People are giving. That means today, while we have two services, at least four people died for their faith in Jesus. That should really, really convict you and I that we let people intimidate us just because they don't like us.
Or it's not the pie to obtain. No. God, help us to be bold. Pray that prayer. God, help you to be bold.
Is it our ability to learn to recant?
Repent for seeking the approval of man.
God, we say repent. God, I want to acknowledge that we have sought after man's approval and not God's.
Matter of fact, let's do that right now. Father, we just repent.
God, we repent right now, God.
Come on, begin to repent. God, forgive me
for seeking man's approval more than your approval. God, forgive me for letting fear intimidate me from walking my faith bold. God, forgive me for wanting just to fit in with these friends and then not living it out the way I should. God, forgive me. God, help me to be bold. Help me to be strong in my witness. God, help me to be strong in my testimony. Help me not to be weak. But God, let me live out bold for you. Just may cause words that convicted and corrected Peter, may hit our hearts today, God, convicting us as well. We pray that we're become bold. We pray to live out bold. We pray that we would be bolder in our decision to follow you. May we not be quiet and undercover Christians, but maybe live a life that reflects you, that reflects your love every day. How must it be called?